Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process. Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. And how about you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the winter solstice on December 21st, 2016, and how to participate with the procession of light and darkness. We will discuss the integration of the two polar opposites as a means to create balance in your life. Listen as Swami explains how to use the longest night to understand the role of light. This show will also visit the season of Advent and the function of joy in the process of apotheosis. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and get the benefit of internal support and eternal light, powered by prana. So Swami, let's begin right away talking about the winter solstice that's coming up on December 21st. So how do we participate with the procession of light and darkness?
Well, the winter solstice, that's the time of longest night. So the balance, the scale is completely tipped the other way. And the whole dynamic that goes on between light and darkness, good and evil, oftentimes, the whole thing of duality, trying to understand how creation is basically taking place in accordance with these laws of opposites. And during this time, when you do have the longest night, it does give you the opportunity to explore the darker side of our human experience, things that may be outside of our field of awareness, things that are lurking outside of consciousness, and things like unconscious patterns or karmic patterns that could be basically affecting us. And being able to turn your attention inward so that you're introspective, analytical, observant, reflective is really helpful. But another thing to recognize is that astrologers perceive that all major cosmic events, eclipses, solstices, equinoxes, things of those natures are really interactive, that they represent an activity also taking place within ourselves and consciousness. So being able to use what is going on around us to give us some clues as to possibly what may be going on within us, and especially if these things are in the dark, if they're outside our field of awareness.
Do you think that some people may not want to know what's in the dark, and maybe that's why some people are actually afraid of the dark physically?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But I also think it's kind of like the concept of the ostrich burying its head and in hopes of putting themselves outside of danger. Mm-hmm. That I think there are better ways to go about it. And I think by trying to shed light onto the concept of darkness or these areas that are unfamiliar, awkward, or unknown, really kind of gives us an opportunity maybe to take ourselves out of the possibility of being in harm's way. And so there's some, to some degree, it might be scary, but like we always say, chance chance favors a prepared mind. And if you are anticipating that there is the possibility that something could be lurking in the dark, that proactively going in and exposing it oftentimes is a much better strategy than, say, for example, when you're a little kid and you're lying in bed and something goes bump in the night and you lay there and you're just terrified to the point where I think you're better off just getting up out of bed, going into the closet and opening the door and figuring out that there's nobody in there and I can go back to sleep now.
Isn't that something that we would rather lie awake in bed terrified and trembling with fear as opposed to just getting up, like you said, turning on the light and opening the closet door? So sometimes it really can be that simple. But if somebody doesn't want to open up their field of awareness, like you were saying, you know, find the darkness, you know, what would you say to that person? How would you motivate them to want to look within and find the darkness within themselves?
Well, again, I don't really try and impose my beliefs on anybody. That if somebody comes to me and they like who I am and the way I am with myself, but I really don't. I don't try and convince people that my way is the only way or the best way. It's a way that I use, and if you prefer to be in denial and you think that that works for you, then that's fine with me. So I don't really have any kind of strategy that I employ to try and convince somebody that this is what you want to do. If the concept appeals to you, then by all means, you know, this radio show and what we're talking about might be things that you might be interested in. But one of the things that I like to do is use the astrology. I will look at the chart of the solstice and try and see the position of the planets and what's on the ascendant and what's on the angles and things of that nature to try and possibly give me some clues as to how things might be lining up in my unconscious field of awareness.
So this solstice coming up, is there anything that we really should be made aware of? Is that what you're saying, planetary speaking?
Well, not like I'm trying to tell you that there's something lurking here, but I like to use it to give me some insight so that I can start to shed some light on aspects of my makeup that have grown or have never been developed, that are awkward because they're unfamiliar. And so with the chart of the solstice, you have Sagittarius rising in Hampton. And Sagittarius on the ascendant, it's like what we say, the whole thing of the higher mind, that Sagittarius has a real affinity for a broader field of awareness, so that you would be a lot more open-minded at this time. The sun is also at 0 degrees Capricorn, but it's in the first house. So it kind of allows you to bring your attention into your physical body, puts the emphasis on the physical body, and being able to get any clues that could be coming directly from your physical body, even to the point of pain, discomfort, instability, would be really good clues as to the possibility of unconscious patterns or karmic patterns that are causing these, I want to say, undesirable conditions. And also, Saturn is in the first house. Now, with regard to the concept of the longest night, the planets that are typically associated with darkness, one is Pluto, and Pluto really is the god of the underworld, and Pluto is also the planet that you would look for the whole concept of the dark night of the soul, that transformation that happens in the chrysalis, that happens when we do put ourselves in the void or the nothing, and the gestation period where the changes take place is very Pluto oriented. And the other planet is Saturn. Saturn is another planet that has a dark feeling to it, and primarily because it is our dharma. It's duty, it's responsibility, obligation. And Saturn here is in the first house, which kind of puts it on stage. So starting to maybe look for your dharma, your duty, your responsibility, your collective purpose. And with the Sun and Saturn both in the first house, I think it gives you an opportunity to really shed light on that, because the Sun really is the source of light.
Isn't that interesting that the Sun's going to have a major part with the winter solstice, as far as us, you know, trying to look inward to really find out how are we truly made? What is our makeup?
Yeah, and looking more towards meaning and purpose to a particular incarnation, I think, is really helpful. Another interesting dynamic that's taking place here is that Pluto is in Capricorn, which is typically the planet that is the zodiacal sign that is associated with Saturn. And so Pluto in Capricorn conjunct Mercury, which of course is basically the conscious mind. It's the lower mind. It's the part of our minds that is directly related to our senses. And being in the second house, you would really look towards your values, that could shed some light on what it is that we think is really important in life. And then, of course, to be able to maybe cross-reference that with a lot of the concepts that we talk about here, that there's a difference between a need and a want. And if we aren't clear about what our needs are in their order of importance, that it is the possibility of setting ourselves up for some disappointment or failure in life.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot of work to do. And I think what you're saying is, you first started talking about that we have to use the body and then pay attention to any disturbances that we might be feeling in our bodies, and then try to unbox that. And then of course, what you were just talking about, the astrology of what's happening on the 21st.
Yeah, just like I said, just to try and give yourself a little bit of a blueprint to work with is the way I use the chart, way of me possibly organizing my sense of self based on 12 different departments of my life, so that I'm not just looking at my physical body, but that I'm giving a much broader approach to my identity, and then to look for the planets that are tenanting these houses to try and give me clues as to what departments in my life that I can actually look towards to find clues as to what could possibly be lurking in the unconscious.
All right, well, that sounds great. Well, we are going to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll return with you shortly.
Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, before the break, we were discussing how we can best use the planetary alignments that's happening on the solstice. Is there anything else that we should be made aware of?
Well, just going back to the chart and looking at some of the aspects, one of the other things I notice is that Venus is going to be in Aquarius in the second house, which again, second house is values, resources, and Venus is really a planet that is associated with personal interest. Mars is in the third house in the zodiacal sign of Pisces, which isn't a very strong Mars. Using your personal desires in regard to maybe looking for some fresh ideas, new concepts at this time could be really important. And then the other thing that I notice is Uranus, which is really, Uranus is the light that passes through opaque objects. So you want to use insights to help shed light on the darker areas of awareness. And oftentimes Uranus can bring unexpected change. And sometimes unexpected change can really be a new perspective of something. And Uranus is opposing Jupiter, and Jupiter is in the 10th house, which is the house of our Dharma. And Jupiter is in Libra. So the whole realms of just being in the department of life where you are before the general public, and relationships that we have that bring maybe just a little bit more attention to us with regard to the general public, and looking for a sense of purpose in that exposure can be helpful. And the other thing is that the moon is also in Libra in the 10th house. And the moon is also a luminary. It's the reflected light that we get from the sun that is now being shed into the 10th house. So really looking at your career, your reputation, and again, you before the general public can be good areas for this here particular solstice.
It sounds like it gives us a lot to be introspective about when we're talking about trying to find the darkness or trying to find actually the lightness in the darkness, I guess. So it's all very interesting to analyze, I guess, all the departments of your life, especially this time of the year, and there's so much seeming to be going on regarding the chart.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't just try and limit myself to this time of year. I do this a couple of times a day, actually, every day. So it kind of reminds me of when I was in school. And if I did my homework every night, when it came time for exams, I just had to review a lot of stuff. I didn't have to do a lot of cramming. And I think that's what a lot of us have a tendency possibly to do, is we put personal development on the back burner, and then when we're in crisis, we have a tendency to try and cram because life is giving us some sort of test. And if we are accustomed to having a practice, that's what I think is really important in Kriya Yoga, is to develop a practice, that you are working with yourself on all of these different levels on a regular basis. So being introspective, analytical, observant, reflective becomes almost second nature. Understanding the relationship between what's going on in your body and what's going on in your mind on a regular basis, you have a tendency to get better and better at this. And it's like anything else. I always like that book, Talent is Overrated. And basically people that excel in just about any endeavor just typically spend more time doing it. A person becomes a great musician because that's all they do is play their musical instrument. And there are those that are casually interested or idly curious about these things. And we have a tendency to think that the person that plays all the time has some God-given talent. But where in fact all they really have is an interest in doing what it is that they're doing. And I think the same is true if we really enjoy self-development, personal development, and if you enjoy the experience of understanding how we are creating our reality, and that becomes something that you spend more and more time doing, and not because you're told to do it or because you think you're going to get credit for doing it, it's the simple fact that you just love to do it. And mm-hmm. I think that's where I think the next part of the show, this whole thing of Advent joy, comes in.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did want to make sure that we spent a little bit of time about talking about Advent and the third week, which is supposed to represent joy. So how can we utilize that feeling of joy to better enhance the solstice that's coming up? Now, I know I have printed off what the definition of joy is, and it does say a deep feeling or condition of happiness or contentment, something causing such a feeling or a source of happiness, an outward show of pleasure, delight, or rejoicing. And rejoicing seems to be a really big word this time of the year. So how does one best rejoice during this winter solstice?
Yeah, the whole key to the whole thing is trying to figure out the whole meaning of Christmas and the whole concept of the Lord is come and let earth receive her king type of phrases that they mean something. And I think the biggest misconception when it comes down to this concept of spirituality is that this concept of false gods really comes into view, because there is a big difference when you think God is some cosmic puppeteer that is overseeing your conduct and your behavior, and you think that God is watching over you and that you will be rewarded by good behavior and you will be punished for bad behavior, that if you are not performing very well, you live in kind of fear of this particular punishment that you're anticipating to happen to you. But the reality of it is God isn't a person, but God is really an energy field. God is the force right now that is supporting our lives. The problem with the world isn't God's love for humanity. The problem of the world is humanity's misunderstanding of what God is. If we don't love God, we love other things, and we think that this person, God, is giving us these things as a form of reward for our behavior. And it doesn't play like that. And the whole thing of feeling joy simply because you have what you need becomes, I want to say, the essence of these spiritual holidays. That if you feel connected to something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, and it's just never going to let you down, if you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you realize that God is right there, then of course you feel the joy. And that is the association between a symbol and a feeling. But one of the biggest barriers to us understanding this is the programming that our bodies come in with. We're not looking for God, we're looking for mother, food, and approval. And we had to be taught how to separate from our attachment to these tangible and visible symbols and rewire, reprogram, change reward circuits in our brain, and change these neurological pathways so that we could actually love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And of course, now you take a breath and you feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred, and it is producing the feeling of bliss, wonder, and awe in your inner environment. That's the joy. And to me, that's the whole thing of the coming of the Lord.
And then that also would explain the second definition of joy that I mentioned earlier when I said something causing such a feeling, a source of happiness. And isn't that what we've been saying in many radio shows, is that really is the foundation of happiness, and that is to make that connection. Well, I do think it is probably about that time. We do have to start closing down our show. So listeners, I would invite you out there to please visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, you can post comments about this show and maybe give us ideas for future shows you would like Swami to do for you. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we'll be celebrating Christmas Kriya Yoga style. And so, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about today's show or next week?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a very happy holiday season, whether it be the solstice or Christmas or whatever else it is that you celebrate at this time, and maybe take some consideration in maybe using some of the information that we dispense here. And if you are inclined, maybe take a class or give us a call. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.